staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. We have that on the screen there, my brother? All right. You ought to know the story by now if you're a Bible-believing Christian. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." What does it say? Great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, or in the King James, swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." With thee. We are celebrating the incarnation of God into man. The hypostatic union, the theologians call it, where God becomes man. What really amazes me above anything else is that we serve a God who's the creator of the universe, who created everything. The theologians call it ex nihilo. I mean, he created it from nothing. Now, you know, a lot of the other creation stories that we have come from, or from the other ancient peoples that are out there, their story of creation is God is somehow battling with the elements, and he's getting the material world, and he's trying to get them under control, and finally, this God gets them under control. But it's so different with the Hebrew story, where God was, there was nothing in but God, and God created out of nothing. Ex nihilo. He created it out of nothing. We have, but then, and then this God who is so great, who created the universe, who created Mars. Come on. He created Pluto. Is that still a planet? I mean, he created, it's a hybrid planet, whatever they call it. But he created this, and he created galaxies, and he created all these things, and he spoke it into an existence. The God who is so grand, who did all these things, sent his only son for us human beings. He would come in the Trinity, as Jesus existed in the Trinity before he came to the earth, came and became incarnate in man. And in John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God," talking about Jesus. "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Then you jump down to verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we are celebrating. We have a lot to be excited about, because we have a God who came down in the form of man, died on the cross, came in as a baby in a manger. Wow. We've heard that so many times. Sometimes I think we sort of get numb to it. Oh yeah, we've heard that. But really think about it for a minute. We're talking about God coming into the form of man, being born into the earth, 100% God, 100% man. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're not celebrating just some prophet or just somebody who's a good teacher. We're celebrating the Son of God, God incarnate, coming into the earth, coming and being here for us and with us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." He said in Luke 2, let me go back up and refer to Luke verse 10, 2, verse 10. He says that, "I will bring good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." In other words, this great joy, this joy of God and humanity is for all the people, every person in the world. It's for all, every nation. It's for all the Muslim nations. It's for all the Hindu nations. Jesus wants to shine his light in every nation. No matter what it is, no matter what their background, it's for he came here for every man, woman, and child. He came here for every culture. He came here for every religion that's not serving him. He came here for those things. And we're celebrating the fact that we can have joy in the Lord because of what he has done. Let me tell you something. I don't know what's, sometimes you wonder what's happening in the world, but all I know is when the devil raises up his ugly head, that means Jesus is not far behind doing some amazing stuff. And people are getting saved. I believe I've never before I've read testimonies about refugees coming to Christ. I hear about this stuff God is doing. And let me tell you, God came. We're celebrating the fact that he came here in the flesh so that we could have joy, really. So we could have joy for all mankind, humankind. And he says he's not coming back until every tribe, tongue, and every nation has heard the gospel. We still got a ways to go. So I'm not hunkering down waiting for the rapture. I'm believing there's a lot more that's got to be done, you know, before we do all that. But joy for all the peoples. Let's pray as we continue on in this morning. That's my introduction to what we're talking about. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we can have joy. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence, God, that we can celebrate you and have the freedom to worship you here in this nation, God. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We honor you as we celebrate your birth, as we celebrate that you came here on this earth, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I wanted to start out by trying to define what joy really is. And I'll be a little honest with you, it's always been a little elusive to me, joy. Because it's easy to say, I'm happy, because our happiness is always based upon what's happening at the time. You see, it's totally based on emotion. And I'm not saying joy does work with your emotions, but I'm always trying to figure out what exactly is joy. Because I don't feel good every day. I don't get up out of the bed and go, woo, thank you, Jesus. Now, maybe some of you do. I got to get up. My wife said, I can't even talk to anybody. I got to go straight read the Bible. She just says, just Ed, leave. Just go. Just go do something, but don't talk to me. Go. And I got to go get with God. And so I don't get up with joy. I just don't wake up full of joy every morning. So how do I get to joy? How do I get to this kind of thing? And so I'm trying to figure out what this joy is. So I looked it up in the dictionary and tried to see what we're going to start out with what Webster 1828 had to say, the only true dictionary. And then we had to go to the Merriam-Webster and see what they have to say about it. But it says the passion or emotion, emotion again, excited by the acquisition or expectation of good, that excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire, or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire, gladness, exaltation, exhilaration of spirits. Then we go on and go to the next definition. It says the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, by the prospect of possessing what one desires, delight, the expression of or exhibition of such emotion, etc., etc. I read through some of that, and I'm just sitting there thinking, yeah, I mean, this is probably part of it, but we're missing something in the definition. First off, you're missing Jesus in the definition, for one thing. But you can only give and put down what you can put down when you're trying to define something, and you don't put God a part of that definition. So I was trying to figure out, okay, what is joy? Well, how do I explain this joy? Sometimes when you got it, you just know you got it. Other times it's hard for me to define it. But I looked up in one of the famous Protestant reformers. Here's what he said, Martin Luther said about joy. He said, joy, and he's right here now. Joy means sweet thoughts of Christ, melodious hymns and psalms, praises and thanksgiving with which Christians instruct, inspire, and refresh themselves. God does not like doubt and dejection. This is written several hundred years ago. He hates drudgery doctrine, gloomy and melancholy thought. God likes cheerful hearts. He did not send his son to fill us with sadness, but to gladden our hearts. And if Martin Luther said it, it's got to be true. So that's the best definition that I've been able to find out about what joy is. Sweet thoughts of Jesus. Three sweet thoughts of Christ. You know, Galatians 5, it includes it in the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Can somebody, come on, quote it. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Yeah, I sort of stopped and y'all kept on. Thank you. I didn't have all of it in my verse. I just sort of stopped and I was. But joy, love is between joy and peace. That it all sort of comes together. So there's a fruit of the Spirit, that's joy. So already we get some hints that joy comes from the Spirit of God. Now, I believe that happiness is a good thing, obviously. But I believe joy is deeper than happiness. Because you can look in the mirror and not be happy, but have joy. When somebody's suffering and I go see someone in the hospital, they're not happy. I'm not happy either. But yet there's something that can spring up in them. I believe joy is so much deeper. I believe it's a deep inward fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There's this that springs forth from your innermost being. If you read the Bible, if you pray, I believe the Word of God goes down in your spirit. It gets in your soul. And when you need something from God and you need some joy to spring up, there's a well up inside of you that just comes up. Oh, spring up, oh well. What's that song? Help me out, Irene. Oh, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Come on. I mean, there's a, come on, in my soul. But spring up, oh well. There's this deep inside of you, this joy of the Holy Spirit. It's just there when things are good and when things are bad. I've seen people who have been through so much stuff, and I'm amazed at how they had joy in the midst of suffering. It almost, joy supersedes your feelings. It supersedes your circumstance because it's spirit birthed. It comes from the Spirit of God, this joy that you can have. Yes, it works with your emotions. Yes, it does, but sometimes your emotions aren't there, but joy can be there because the Holy Spirit is there. It's hard to pin down and define things of the Spirit sometimes, but it's the best I can do. Hang in there with me as I'm trying. But it's tied with hope and peace. I believe joy is tied with the fact that there's hope in this world if we look to Jesus. Now, if all we do is watch Fox News and CNN and MNBC, whatever it's called, and all we do is watch that, then we're going to be depressed and discouraged. And you got to go look at the, I'm not saying don't look at the news, but I tell you what, the biggest news is right here. In other words, he's coming back. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us. It's in the first time the world has been through a lot of struggle. And his people always survive. They'll survive. We'll survive again. It supersedes this joy that's so deep inside of us. Can supersede our emotions to the extent that it gives us the power to keep moving. This joy from the Holy Spirit. Even if the emotions aren't there, Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit. Is there. We have the joy of knowing Christ Jesus, those of you who are saved here. We have the joy of knowing that the Son of God came here and we're celebrating with the joy of Him. We have the joy of eternal life, knowing that this, when we die, it's not just over. There's an eternity out there. We are determined and deciding to spend it with Jesus, not with the other dude. Down. You know, the devil. No. Hail Satan. Anyway, we decided we're going to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have the hope and joy of eternal life. We have the joy of knowing that God of the universe loves us. Yes, if you got nothing else to be excited about that. Yes. The God of the universe sent His only Son and that Jesus loves us. We got the joy of knowing that. We got the joy of knowing that we're not alone. As Pastor Mike was sharing during communion, we're not alone. No matter where you are in your deepest, darkest moment, that Jesus is there. No matter what struggle you have, Jesus is there to help you. Now, sometimes he'll get you out of it in a moment. Sometimes you have to just go through the battle. But there's this joy that we have, that we can have by knowing that he's there. At Christmas time, we know he's there. Sometimes we wonder, There's been moments in my life I wonder, where are you, God? If you love me, come help me right now.
Yes.
And he didn't help me right. I thought he wasn't helping me, but he did help me in a different way than I thought possible. Joy of knowing you're not alone. The joy of hope in this life for us and for our families. The joy of knowing that we don't have to fear the future, but we can believe God that he'll touch the future. You look around us, it's almost like, I don't want to bring children up in this world. Well, we need godly children to rise up and change this world. I don't believe the power of the Holy Spirit is limited because somebody says it is. It's limitless. I'm of the persuasion in my eschatological views, eschatology of the last days, that God is going to sweep in with the power of his Holy Spirit and going to sweep up millions and millions into his kingdom before he comes. That's my doctrine. That's what I believe that Jesus is going to do. Now, all the other stuff, we can debate it. But I know, I believe he's going to do that. There's always hope when Jesus is there. And we have the joy of knowing that he's there. I feel like I'm preaching to you today. Am I preaching to you? I said, all right. I'm feeling good anyway. Making me feel better. I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Maybe make me feel a little better. You know, holidays are always interesting, aren't they? When it comes to your families. I'm digressing here a moment. I remember at Christmas Day when I was a kid, and this is so ironic, it went down to zero on Christmas Eve. This is probably going to be like 80. We're going to be at the beach on Christmas Day now, but it went down to zero. The dog had let the door to go under your house. The dog had knocked it over or something, and the pipes were frozen. Me and my dad were with blow torches back when they had copper water pipe, under the thing, thawing it out on Christmas Day. I'll never forget it. And we still talk about that very event. My wife's probably heard that 10 times since I've been married. Yeah, you remember we were under the house on Christmas Day, and we were thawing and stuff. That was a big digression. But anyway, hang with me. Fun memory. I hope you have some fond memories of growing up in church. I hope you have some fond memories of Christmas. But we also have the joy of knowing that the promises in the Bible are for us. We have the joy of knowing that if it says it in here about us, then we can stand on it. There's no second class, third class Christian. You're all the same. We're all equal before God. We all have different roles, but we're all equal before God. So every promise is in this word. Is for you, it's for me, it's for our children, our children's children, it's for everyone. This isn't an American Bible. It's called the New American Standard, but it's not American. What I was trying to say was, the Bible's not just for Americans. It's for every tribe, tongue, and nation. Even though Americans must have translated this one since it says New American Trans. Oh, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, it's what we're... So we have the joy of knowing the promises in the Bible are for us. We have this joy we have in Christ, Jesus. Now, how do we maintain this joy? All right, we know that if we have the Holy Spirit, how do we maintain this joy? I think the first thing you have to do is start with your mind. Let me read a passage to you out of Philippians chapter 4. This is under my section titled, Maintaining Joy. If you're taking notes, I don't blame you if you don't take notes. Just listen. Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or ponder on these things. Dwell on these things. So how do I maintain my joy? Get your thought life right. You know, Martin Luther said, sweet thoughts of Jesus is what joy is. Sweet thoughts of Christ. And in Colossians 3 says the same thing. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I know we got to pay the bills. I know we got to take care of stuff. We can't just go live in a cave and pretend nothing's going on. But in the midst of our life, I believe he's challenging us to keep our minds set on Christ. Day in and day out, when I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm at, that Jesus is not just something I check into on Sundays and unplug. I plug it in on Sunday mornings. I leave and unplug it and don't think about Jesus the rest of the week. He wants you to be involved in your jobs, your family, your career. He wants to be involved in all these things. So keeping our mind on Christ. When you read the newspaper or you see the news and you see what's happening, you look at it with eyes, okay, Jesus, what are you doing through all this? Where's your hand in all the negativity? What's happening? What are you doing in the middle of this, Lord? And what are you going to, why is your kingdom going to be advanced? Because we know the kingdom of God will be advanced. It's not going to make the headlines, but the kingdom of God is advancing. So there will be, the Bible says there will be no decline in the increase of his government. There shall be no end. The increase of his government, there shall be no end. So, there's a lot of stuff happening all over the world, but we don't know how many of those people were. I hear testimonies of people getting saved in the midst of all this. Okay. People coming out of darkness into his light in the midst of all this. So we have hope and joy. So we got to get our minds fixed upon Jesus. So I don't have joy. I'm so miserable. Think about Jesus. Think about what he did for you. Think about what he did on the cross. Think about what he's done for you, what he's continuing to do for you. That'll give you some joy. That'll get your mind off of those problems and focus your attention upon him. Part two of maintaining joy is presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forever." In other words, in his presence. How do you get to his presence? Through his word. Reading this word, sitting down and reading it, letting the presence of God just come and fill you up through prayer as you're praying and thinking about him and praying to him, letting his Holy Spirit minister to you. Let it get down inside of you. I believe that when you read this word, it changes you. Now, I have to be changed every day because my flesh wants to rise up. Don't look at me like that. Everybody has the same. I know everybody else is having to do the same thing. But I have to let it get down inside of me. And if I sit in his presence, there's a joy there that I can call upon when I need it. It's there. It's dwelling within me, the Holy Spirit. And so when I'm desperate, I got to have something. His presence comes. His presence is there for me. Where no matter what stress you're under, no matter what pressure that you're feeling in your job, your careers, your home life, your marriage, whatever it may be, if you're in his presence, you can maintain this joy that you can have. Of course, it's for those who know him. In his presence, you also find your strength. Nehemiah said this. He said, "Then he said to them, 'Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" The joy of the Lord is my strength. Woo, you might remember that song. Now I'm pulling out the old Pentecostal stuff now, all right, man? Catholic. Joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes I wonder, where's this joy when I need it? But I have to keep my mind focused on Jesus. I got to get my mind focused on him, get my mind right. Thinking about the goodness of God. Thinking about the joy of my salvation. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm cleansed by the power of his Spirit. We also have in his presence, we have our victory. Psalm 27 says, "And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to God." So I lifted up my head above my enemies. Most of us, our enemies are the devil, the thought life that we have, the battle. You might have somebody at your workplace you think's your enemy. You know, you may have some different people. Hopefully that's, it's usually we battle against flesh and blood, not against people. But there's this victory in his presence. There's this victory that we have in him. In conclusion here, in His presence, we find our encouragement and our stability. And that song, as we were singing when I came up, says, "For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy, as the King James says, cometh in the morning time." Yes. But a shout of joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Let's fix our minds on Jesus this Christmas holiday. Let's let the joy of the Lord be our strength this holiday season. Let's focus our attention upon Him as the Savior of the world, the child born in a manger, but yet rose to be a man who died on the cross and rose from the dead, God incarnate, the Son of the living God. Let's focus our attention upon Him so that we will have the joy of the Lord. And once again, I just want to reiterate again, joy is greater than your emotions. It's something that's deep inside of you that comes up, wells up within you from the Holy Spirit. We need the joy of the Lord to be our strength. We need the joy of His presence to cover us during this Christmas holiday season. We need His presence like never before. We need His victory like never before. Let's let joy, let's let this sign joy, let's let this be our theme for our families this Christmas season, that we're going to experience the joy of the Lord. That we're not going to get all bent out of shape and mad about a present, but we're going to let Jesus, you know, be the joy and our focus of everything that we're going to do, you know, with our families. Let's put Him as the focal point of all that we are doing this Christmas holiday season. Because if you're saved in here today, there's a deep abiding Holy Spirit within you, and you have access to this joy. By His presence, you can maintain this joy. By His grace, you can walk in this joy. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it figured out why I can't walk in joy 24/7. I haven't got there yet. But I know that if I continue to seek after Jesus, that we're going to have the joy of the Lord. Okay? Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on up here, baby. We're going to sing a song as we go out this morning, tonight, this afternoon, this service, if I can get it out. Christmas song. We're going to sing another Christmas song. Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the joy of the Lord being our strength, Lord Jesus. Let joy mark us this holiday season. Lord, if there's those who are depressed in here today, who've just been struggling, who are sad, who are having just a tough time in their life now, Lord, I pray that the joy of the Lord would touch them even now. Holy Spirit, we ask You for Your presence to come. We ask You for Your grace to come and be with us, Lord Jesus. May Your grace and Your joy accompany us throughout this season as we go through our families, as we experience Your grace. Help us keep our minds focused on You, and help us keep our attention on You. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for that, and we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your peace. And again, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You would minister to anyone today who just needs some joy, who needs a touch of Your Spirit. Let it come upon, I just pray You would come upon them even now. Let Your Holy presence come and encourage them and strengthen them and be with them. We thank You for that. Spirit, come. Give us joy. If you can stand to our feet, we're going to sing. Ladies, we're going to sing this song. guests with us, please turn your guest card in at our information center. We have a gift for you. Also, we have our Christmas party tonight at 5:30 if you'd like to come out. We'd love to see you in the multipurpose room. But you're dismissed, and we will see you back here next Sunday.
Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Bethlehem in Jewry, this blessed babe was born and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn. The which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn.